Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Right now, Jeffrey. Listen, Zencaster, we love you, but some stuff's been going on with you, Zencaster, and the unofficial sponsor of the All the Fields Fantasy Pod has really dropped the ball a little bit, but we make it happen for you, the people. And listen, Twitter's been ablaze mainly because of me, but it doesn't matter. We'll get into that in a second, Jeff. But it's nice to be back with you, Jeff, on this sunny North Carolina day, sunny California day. March is here, almost a year to the day since the whole world shut down. I mean, honestly, I don't know when that day was, but I used St. Patrick's Day of last year as kind of like the barometer, because when that got canceled, it was like, oh boy,
yeah,
you know, stuff's going down. But Jeff, how are you doing today on this Thursday?
Doing pretty well, Will. Like you said, it's a sunny day today. We had our typical California winter day, one day of rain, even for just like a couple hours, and then it was sunny and 70, and we're back at it, living life. I like to mark it by the start of COVID and all the nonsense by my birthday, March 11th, which was the last time I ate at a – no, that's not true. I ate at a restaurant then, and then everything kind of, at least in California, just shut down. We literally came back from my birthday brunch, and there was – I don't know if that was when the 15 days to slow the spread started or – the national emergency or pandemic determination, whatever. So a great, great birthday in 2020. Looking forward to similar times here in 2021 with the little one almost here, slogging through the Marvel. That'll be a bracket after the bracket.
Oh, wow.
A little tease there. Let's just say, as we kind of teased on the first pod with the Marvel, some of these do not hold up anymore and are just, they're pure cash grabs. But we'll save that deep dive for another time. You have a conundrum, Will, that I, you know, I'd like to weigh in on, quite frankly.
Oh, is it, which one? Which conundrum is it? Because I feel both you might have.
Mostly the hair conundrum. The other conundrum to peek behind the kimono is related to the Taco Bell app, which, you know, I've been a critic of internally and externally. Love the hustle. We're throwing it together. We're slapsticking it. But, yeah, it's execution is still leaves something to be desired. I mean, granted, we do have 7,000 restaurants owned by 220-plus franchises. So that can take some herding and sheep wrangling to get every store to take it and to use it effectively. But this was a more personal conundrum, I feel like, Will. And so we'll give the listeners some details around what you're dealing with
here. So you and Greg both saw last week when we were doing the old video for a minute. The hair has taken, you know, it's getting there, and I'm pretty good about getting a haircut. Even during the pandemic, I would still go every 3 months or so, which is still way too long, but with the pandemic, I didn't want to go out and get haircuts all the time. Just someone with a mask right behind you. Still trying to talk to you, by the way. Like, come on now. Can't there be, like, an Uber option for haircuts? Like, hey, just don't talk to me. And right now, I'm getting to the phase where I'm just wearing Ashley's headbands, you know, like keeping the hair back, straight back with a little bit of a, you know, just some water and some grease, making it go straight back. No man bun, please God, I've never, like, you would have to saw my head off before I do a man bun, but just kind of keeping it slicked back, and I've been kind of feeling it lately, and you know what, I've been going to work, I wear a hat anyway, so like, you know, that means nothing to me about what the hair looks like underneath. But at home, it's just kind of like, you know, wandering around with the free flow. And I've seen your hair before. I mean, not recently, although I did just see it in the video, but I definitely see the curls getting a little out of control at points. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with that. I've even asked Ashley. I said, hey, you let me know. You want me to go get a cut? I'll get a cut. I'll, on the drop of a dime, I'll go do it. What's your take? You said you have some personal news on this. How are your feelings on it?
you know, my hair personally is just a curly mess right now. The curls are out of control. It has to be taken care of here shortly, or an afro will start to form atop my head. But you, Will, I'm intrigued. I'm having pictures of Will with, like, shoulder-length locks just adorning and flowing in the Carolina breeze for summer, just getting up in a top bun, a man bun, a messy bun. The possibilities for you are endless, Will. You got the face. You got the build. I mean, let the people get what they want out here.
My hair does not get that long. I think doing it this way is really the only... I'll peek behind the kimono. I'll do the video right now. There it is. Again, same as last week. Got the headband.
It's very, right now, for the people listening, since this is an audio medium, it's very much like, I'm blanking on his name, on the Chargers.
Joey Bosa.
Yeah, you got a very Bosa-esque look right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, solid.
A little bit. I'm envisioning, like, just, like, Keanu Reeves, Matrix, John Wick.
Listening
down there. It won't, what will happen? No. It'll just continue to...
Yeah, I think it just goes high. Mass. It just gets high. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't...
Ooh.
It doesn't go long.
In that case, let's take care of that. We don't need any more pompadours coming out here.
Yeah, that's really all... Wow, the pomps. Greaser high school pomps. I wish I could...
Oh, yeah.
Wish I could name drop somebody right now, but couldn't. Don't care to anyway. So the hair thing is up for debate. The franchisees, on the other hand, with the T-Bells. And the only reason I bring this up is because I was taking Gucci to the dog park yesterday, I believe. And on the app, you can do the Create Your Own $5 box. I'm like, all right, I want to give it a shot. I'm going to do it. However, the T-Bell that's near the dog park... It says, does not accept online ordering. And I'm like, on the app. And I'm like, well, then, can I not eat? You know, it's like, what? I can't even do the thing. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, the build your own $5 thing is app only, correct?
Yes.
So, correct. You want to go to
that. Not great.
Yeah, so that T-Bell, you can't even do it. So, I mean, I don't know. Is that a personal decision with the GM there? Like, what is that about?
No, I'm a little confused. Maybe they just, for some reason, had it turned off, or...
I mean, I'll do it right now.
What?
Let's see if I'll bring
What's the city that you're looking in here?
Concord, North Carolina. Oh, wow. Deep dive.
All right. Okay, well, there's multiple in Concord. Are we looking...
you want to go specific?
Concord Parkway North?
No, I believe it is... Let's see. I got you right here. Give me 1 second.
Off 85.
Gateway
off
Lane.
20.
Gateway Lane. It is a KFC Taco Bell. Does that ink?
Yeah, that's probably why.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that. Yeah, there's other stories for another time off air about that franchisee, if you will. Nothing bad. Just there's reasons why. You're not getting a lot of app, but yeah, you gotta avoid those KTs. You gotta avoid the KFC Taco Bells. They're not gonna follow. They're mostly a KFC centric business.
Oh, so. Wow. Avoid those at all costs. We want to keep Jeff well aligned with his job profile. All of them you can, but understood if you had a choice. Wow. Inside info you'd only find here on the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Jeff, I don't want to go any more further with this. Before we dive deep into our actual pod, last question for you. You touched upon it, but how far are you on the Marvel slog?
We are at Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We're wrapping that up. So I think we have about 5 or 6 more. We're about to hit the second Avengers movie. This Doctor Strange, the Ant-Mans, then the final Avengers one. So 5 or 6 left.
Wow.
I've got an idea of how I want to do the bracket and the rankings, but you've created a bracket and rankings. We'll tease that for a little bit later. You're a man of your word. That's all I'm going to say. A man of musk and presence.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So I'm, can you at least just give me a favorite so far? Just the number one. Just go. Come on. Top of the head.
Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Ooh, all right.
Is a strong favorite.
That is quite I mean, both of them are good, but yes. Great, I do agree. I think Guardians of the Galaxy is a great movie. Alright, that's enough of that. No music talk, no more movie talk. We got hard outs, we got deadlines, we got big stuff to talk about. Jeff, we never really touched on the first thing that I have in the football world, except for 5 seconds to go in last week's podcast. Carson Wentz to the Colts, we haven't talked about it. Just, we teased it. Everyone kind of thought that's the one that made the most sense. I think the Colts got a great bargain for it. People are saying, oh, if it doesn't work out, they're kind of screwed. But I kind of like what the Colts have been doing, where the core of their team has remained the same. They have a really good core. But every year they've gone with a different quarterback. So, you know, 3 years ago they had Andrew Luck, obviously. Then he retired. Yep. So then they had Jacoby Brissett. Then they're like, all right, fine, let's do Phillip Rivers. All right, fine, now let's do Carson Wentz. And if Carson Wentz doesn't work out, maybe they, you know, they go with somebody else next year. They only gave up, what, like a second and a third round pick that can turn into a first round pick if Carson Wentz is actually good. I mean, that's not really the words, but I like it. I mean, if he bottoms out, they can go to Brissett, finish 7-7. I mean, can't even get into this because the schedule. They finish whatever it is they finish, and they start over again next year because they got that core, especially that offensive line. Who they just need to fix one of the positions, but yeah. How do you feel about Carson Wentz going to the Colts?
Yeah, I think you touched on the one aspect that is positive for the move. When you look at his time in Philly, obviously pre-injury, which is another wrinkle to add to his presence, but it's when the Eagles had a really strong offensive line, like one of the tops in the leagues, that Wentz performed well. And that's when we saw that MVP, you know, he was on that train, if you will, level of play, you know. The other thing that's nice about the Colts, they have some good running back weapons. So that's kind of a new element. He did have some of that in his days in Philly. And he also has, you know, the rando wide receivers. I mean, it looks like T.Y. Hilton's going to be gone, so Paris Campbell and the other
Pittman.
Young white Pittman, yeah, are kind of similar situation from that perspective to the Eagles. So, like you said, it doesn't seem like a huge risk, huge reward. They have a core with the Colts on both lines in the trenches, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, if it doesn't work out with Wentz, you got Brissett, which is a solid backup. Is Wentz that much better than Brissett? I guess depends on which year we're talking about. Last year, it's definitely debatable, but they do have a good safety net with that, and so I do think it's a good move for the Colts. Frank Reich, familiar with the quarterback. Let's see if they can rekindle some of the magic, and if they can't, they gave up something, but not too much, so I like it. It's intriguing, at least.
Agreed. Intriguing makes them... That division is going to be really weird. With the Texans, who knows what's going on with them. The Jaguars, obviously, new coach, new quarterback. The Titans are, right now, I would say the favorites, and they're obviously a fun team to watch, which, who thought we'd be saying that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And then you got the Colts. Yeah, great to see that. I want to touch on one more thing, but I have a little bit of some breaking news, and it's going to be tough because this is more of like a strategy thing.
Oh.
And I know you don't know. I'm going to ask you, and you're going to say no. But have you heard of the new proposal for overtime? Yes or no?
No.
So I will tell you this in 10 seconds. The Ravens are the ones who proposed it. And it is a spot and choose system instead of do you choose to receive the ball. Okay? So what it is if you are a team with a great offense, you'll say, hey, we'll take the ball, but we'll do it from the 10-yard line. Hoping the other team agrees to that, saying like, okay, can you go 90 yards? Fine, we'll let you have the ball. Or if you have a really good defense, we'll be like, okay, you know what? We'll let you guys have the ball at the 50. So like if you're, you know, going to overtime against the Bengals and you're the 2020 Ravens or the 2019 49ers, do you say, we'll let you have the ball, it's fine. You guys even get it at the 50. So that's a very interesting kind of wrinkle they're trying to add to the overtime instead of just, you know, winner gets the ball at the 25, or, you know, coin toss, gets the kickoff, probably at the 25.
Yeah.
and then they, you know, kick a field goal or whatever. Anyway, I think that is just a little breaking news right now. Pretty interesting. Dude. Finally, some timing, because I know someone's getting traded after this pod airs.
Yep.
And this is going to be, you know, dated by the time it is. Anyways, Jeff, pretty cool little side note there. Let's get to the Cardinals really quick. Muffin's favorite team ever. J.J. Watt goes there. Really random in terms no one ever thought he was going to go there. He keeps saying he wants to win. He got the same amount of money he would have if he didn't get cut with the Texans. $30 million, $31 million, whatever it ends up being.
Yep.
He goes to a team that's kind of on the up and up. They have a really young core on offense. And my thinking is, along with everybody else, is DeAndre Hopkins probably said, you should come over here because the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the atmosphere, the ether is really good. Does he do anything for you? Does he spice you up a little bit?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it makes the team better. I think it's definitely a problem that the Cardinals needed to address some consistency on that D-line. You know, whether or not J.J. Watt is a top 10 pass rusher in the league anymore is another thing, but I think he does bring a veteran presence and leadership, like you said, to a younger team that probably needs a locker room guy. I do think it's interesting that, you know, maybe the Texans were getting revenge and they knew something about Watt that the Cardinals didn't, so they kind of, you know, maybe facilitated a transfer like that. Maybe some devious things happening in the background. Who knows? Mm. I just feel like, aren't the Cardinals now becoming the Texans a little bit? Like from 2017, where they're just accruing these older big names that are eating up salary cap. And they have their young quarterback on their rookie deal, just trying to capitalize. But it didn't really work out for the Texans so much. I guess you could say maybe a couple years ago they were one half away from making it to the Super Bowl. But it's intriguing. I mean, it definitely was fun to just see, again, that no one knows anything. And everyone had all these reports and all these sources. And, you know, the Peloton controversy, which was great too, just trolling everyone and going to the Cardinals. So it's definitely that division, I think, is going to be probably the best in the league. Definitely top to bottom, everyone is a contender going into the year.
Now, people were saying the Cardinals are probably the worst team in that division, and I don't buy that. The Niners, who knows what's really going on with them? They obviously had a ton of injuries like they always do, like very similar to other teams in the league. What's their quarterback situation? We don't know. The Rams are definitely intriguing, but I wouldn't call them necessarily better than the Cardinals, at least at this point in time. You said it. That division's awesome. Who knows what's going to happen with Seahawks and Russell Wilson? Not that he's going to leave, but he more or less hates it there, I guess. Whatever you want to call, but like you already said it, no one knows anything. Do we really know if Russell Wilson hates it there, as he flat out said it, like, in an interview, or is it just the agent and all these sources? I mean, who knows? Like I said, we'll probably be a curse of the pod as soon as this airs, saying what is going to happen with certain players. And Jeff, speaking of curse of the pod, let's get into some fantasy news. I listed, I think, about 8 players. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Perfect. 8 players. All offensive. All skill positions. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. And what I want to do is I want us to take turns picking a team that we want to see these players go to.
Ooh.
Now, not, you know, all right, not where we think they're going to go, but just obviously logically. We don't want to say, oh, yeah, we want them all to go to the Chargers. Or the Cowboys. Logically speaking, fantasy relevance, all that stuff. I'll let you go first, and you can pick any of the 8. You don't have to go in order. So the 8 we have listed are Deshaun Watson, Allen Robinson, Dak Prescott, Chris Godwin, Aaron Jones, Kenny Golladay, Will Fuller, and Juju Smith-Schuster. And again, I'm sure 4 of these people are going to be tagged, franchise tagged, the second we stop recording. but let's just have fun. You pick one, let it rip.
Ooh, all right. Let's talk about maybe someone that hasn't been getting a lot of pub and maybe has been underneath under the radar to a certain extent, given where I think his talent is, and that is Kenny Golladay.
Yes.
I think he is a beast in the game. Towards the later years of Stafford, Golladay, and where Golladay went, so did Stafford. He opens things up for other players on his team, like Marvin Jones. Now, with Goff at the Lions, it's not great. We've seen Goff be able to sustain fantasy relevance for receivers, and I don't think he's really had a Golladay, like, number one kind of guy. So if I had to pick a landing spot,
and they can be the same, they can stay. There's no one, you know.
Yeah, but the Lions aren't a fun team. I mean, I don't want to see Golladay chewing on anyone's legs or ankles out there. I want him to see him breaking some ankles. Taking out kneecaps. So I'm just trying to think of, like, okay, what's a team that needs wide receiver help? And has some talent at the quarterback position. You know, it would be great if we could get I think people have talked about an Allen Robinson Deshaun connection. I think a Golladay Deshaun connection would be amazing. We've seen what Deshaun can do with Will Fuller. I think Golladay is just a more versatile Will Fuller who stays slightly more healthy. But it's interesting. I'm trying to think of, like, you know, Golladay at the – no, not the Packers. That would just be too much with Devontae and Golladay. I was leaning towards maybe the 49ers, but their situation is kind of up in the air with Jimmy G. But I think that would be a team that needs them. Raiders could be interesting.
Ooh.
A team that is looking to win now. We got Derek Carr who can spread it around a little bit. We saw what, you know, Darren Waller did there. They need a sure-handed big play threat, and they can then use their speedy second-year wide receiver in more of a.
I like it. I mean, if that's your final, I mean, I like it. That's what I was kind of leaning that too.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
You on Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I really like that one. They just let go of Tyrell Williams, who they signed to a pretty big deal. They obviously went after Antonio Brown. So that's they definitely need another guy to go with Henry Ruggs, like you said.
Yes, Ruggs.
Although they do have a, what's that little white boy's name?
Yeah, I know.
From Clemson. I don't know why I can't think of who he is, but
that's a very white name.
Yeah, very white. All right, so you start with Kenny Golladay. I'm going to go with Aaron Jones. That's who I'm going to pick next. Now, do I think he's going to stay with the Packers? I hope he does, but that's no fun, right? I can't just be like, oh, yeah, he's going to stay. They drafted, you know, Zach – wait, no, Zach Moss is the Bills guy. They drafted A.J. Dillon.
Yes.
Another A.J. Wow, okay. So they're keeping an A.J. no matter what. Running backs, notoriously not great going from team to team or even just, you know, getting big deals. Who even knows if Aaron Jones will get a big deal, but I'm already saying it right now. I think he goes to an NFC team. I think he goes to the division that we just talked about as the best, possibly the best division in football. And I'm going to say he goes to the Seattle Seahawks. Aaron Jones to the Seattle Seahawks. Get Russell Wilson some help. Get him a healthy running back for the love of God. They don't have the most Rashad injuries Penny. Ever, but yeah, Chris Carson's never healthy. Rashad Penny, they had remember they got Eddie Lacy that one time? That might make them make their blood boil a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll go with Aaron Jones. See him go somewhere else. He'll be a nice PPR machine if he goes there. Aaron Jones. Nice pick for me. That's where I'm going. Nice and short.
Oh, yeah. Solid pick. Let's see. I guess Allen Robinson is the other. It's a similar story to Golladay, I'd say. I just want to see this guy go to a team with some solid quarterback play. Some spice to him. Maybe on a team that wins some games. What if he went to the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That's,
give
that's
Lamar
nice.
Jackson a versatile wide receiver on the other side of Hollywood Brown, a team that wins, that is balanced, that will feed him the ball when needed, and has Mark Andrews there as well as another option to make that a potent attack to get Lamar to that next level.
I like it. I like that one. You know, looking at these other choices, I'm actually kind of upset that we did Kenny Golladay to the Raiders, because I think if anyone on this list is a Raider, it's Juju Smith-Schuster, now that I'm kind of thinking about it. But unfortunately, that's not a possibility at this point. I'm not going to do that. They're not going to sign both those guys. So I am going to go with Juju, and I'm going to move him across to the NFC, to a team that I don't know if, honestly, they want him. Again, this is all conjecture for us, right?
Oh, 100%.
We don't got no sources. But Juju loves the light. He loves the limelight. He wants to dance and party until 5 in the morning. And what place can he not do that but the Big Apple? And the Giants just released Golden Tate. Not that he was their playmaking guy. Daniel Jones, he needs a playmaker on the wide receiver end. And Juju, people don't really know about this, and I think they talked about this on ATN. Great run blocker. Like, he does all the difficult things.
Yep.
And Saquon is going to need some help next year. Daniel Jones is going to need some help. Who is the Giants' big play wide receiver? Darius, what's that dude's name? Something.
Darius Slayton?
Yeah, Darius Slayton, like, come on. Darius Slayton and Shepard, like, let's get him some weapons over there. I like it. I think Juju to the Giants on a nice, cheap, not a big deal, but a decent deal. And the Steelers aren't going to keep him. The Steelers produce wide receivers more than Gucci produces poop. I mean, it's easy. Too easy for them.
Oh, yeah.
Very regular. So there you go. Juju to the Giants. That's who I'm going with.
All right. I'll go with Chris Godwin.
Oh, man. I really want... Okay, gotcha. That's good. Good.
He wants to be back with the Bucks, but he wants to get paid. And where will he get paid? I was thinking a team that we've mentioned. Maybe the Eagles. They need wide receivers. But they're in cap hell. Patriots, they're not going to pay for a guy like that.
Can we talk about the Patriots really quick? Do you love that my buddy Tyler posted this? Jonnu Smith is a free agent, and he's like the top tight end on the market. He's a, you know, he's a great tight end, right?
Yeah.
No mention of the Patriots. Then all of a sudden, Kyle Rudolph gets released. Oh, he'd be a perfect Patriot. Just want everybody to know that.
Yeah, of course.
Just, what do you think? Just, yeah. What a freaking... Just...
Classic.
All right, Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin. I'm going a little unconventional. He wants to be paid. He obviously won the Super Bowl. Now it's about legacy for him.
Mm.
All right. Now, there is a team who's in it for the long haul. I think Godwin may or may not be in it for the long haul. The Cincinnati Bengals. They need receiver help for their young quarterback. They need a proven veteran. AJ Green, he's got to be on the outs if he's not cut already. So they need a new presence to come in and stabilize Joe Burrow.
Fresh off
his Super Bowl appearance, Chris Godwin.
I like that one. That's a good one. They have T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Green's gone, and then John Ross is gone, I would assume.
Yes.
Yeah, they need all the help they can get. So that's I like that one. I'm going to take – I'm avoiding the last two on purpose. I'm going with Dak, and unfortunately, I'm going to be boring, and I think this is probably the one out of the eight here that stay with their team. I don't – if the Cowboys let them go, they're morons. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Yeah.
And, we can put our personal biases aside, but to keep Zeke for his $100 million and then let Dak go, that'd be a big mistake. So I'm saying Dak, he stays with the Cowboys. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I don't think there's any issue there, and I will go with the fifth, Will Fuller. I'm not touching that Deshaun speculation. You need a team that has he's a complimentary type receiver. He can add a little bit of deep ball spice to your lineup. I'm looking at who I can see as that potential option. Maybe he's on the opposite side of Davante Adams. The Packers, finally listen to A-Rod, get him some more help, and get him a big play threat like Will Fuller.
Wow. That would be tremendous for Gutenkunst.
Guti.
Wow. If he went there, I mean, Packers favorites immediately. Not that they aren't already, but wow.
Yeah.
I don't even, that'd be insane. And the reason, okay, so here's the reason I held off for so long from these last two, is because I wanted to pair them together. Unfortunately, you have Will Fuller on the Packers, so Watson not going to the Packers. Oh boy, where would Deshaun go? Right now, the Bears are the ones who say they have the biggest offer on the table, quote, willing to mortgage the franchise to get Deshaun Watson. And then a note I wrote, that we haven't touched on, is teams cannot trade past 2023 with their first-round picks. So if they give away their first-round picks, it's up to that year, unless they have multiple. So who knows what's on with that. So Deshaun Watson, I'm not going to be boring and say he stays with the Texans. Whew, do I bite the bullet and say the Bears? It has to be someone in the NFC. I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna say he goes to the Panthers. People have kind of noted that he obviously went to Clemson. He's a Southern boy. Oh my gosh, if he did go to the Panthers, that would make this town very excited and probably make me want to go to a game. Who knows what the Panthers would have to give up, but I'm not worried about that right now. I'm saying he goes to the Panthers, so we will make these notes. And I think, you know what, if I were to be a betting man, which I am, I would say we get two of these, right? I think all these logically make sense. Now, the Cowboys and the Dak one is kind of lame, but...
Yeah, that's a gimme.
So, not counting that one, out of the seven others, I think we can get two. I'll be excited to see. Can we guarantee one? Can we guarantee... I don't want to... shoot. I think... I don't know. I like them.
I think there is a... I think that we will get at least... two of the position team acquisitions, meaning that
wide receiver to Bengals,
wide receiver to X team. Yeah, I mean the actual player to that team. That's without any sources. Next level.
I mean, this is on here, so I mean, this is it'll say last when we event if for some reason we get six of them right, you know, we won't touch it. It'll say edited,
yes.
You know, March 4th, 2021. And, of course, we have the pod to back it up. So, yes. All right. That was some entice, some spice. I like it. We got about 10 minutes left, Jeff. Hard out coming. But just want to touch on the video game character bracket. This is the official video game character bracket. The only video game character bracket. And the only one that matters, frankly. And Ringer, I've tagged you a million times, and you're being a coward. You're being cowards because you won't admit that you were wrong, and that's fine. I did say last week that I would begin process on a video game character bracket, and one region is done. Now, is it easy? No. No, it's not. But I've done my best with some, of course, input from Jeff and Greg about what regions we should do. And right now, the four regions, and let me know how you feel about these. I did make one alteration when making this. So right now, I have icons, villains, modern, and online. And when I say online, that's when we're going to get into the Blizzards, the esports, the Fortnites. Like, Fortnite is a modern game, but I mean, come on, that's a pay-for-service, you know, free-service kind of game. Villains, Diablo is a villain, but he's going to be someone that's in that online realm, the PC realm. And icons, it was really hard because, as we'll get into it, you mentioned him last week, Bowser. He's not in this. He's an icon, but he's not in this because I'm going to put him in the villain bracket. That was where I was kind of my head was at, because icons, man, ugh, you could go so much more than 16. I have my 16 listed here. Jeff, lay it on me. What do you got?
I think what you've created here, Will, is an A-plus bracket.
Wow.
I mean, just the level of depth in Musk within the Icons region itself is fitting. I mean, you go 1 through 16, all Icons. I mean, the region is fully encapsulates the, you know, characters that are contained within. And I think that's something that the Ringer bracket was sorely missing. It was kind of haphazard where the regions were and the fit with the characters in the regions. So from right there, you're building off a better block. Second of all, the bracket is fully legible. I can clearly see every every character. It's got a soft gray with dark lettering, so it's very easy on the eyes to look at. I love that, and I love that you incorporated some iconic characters that are of generations past. And what we talked about is that, you know, we thought the Ringer bracket incorporated too many newer, they had a bias towards newer characters. This is clearly a younger audience and a younger writing staff. But you walk around from the time period about 96 to 99, maybe even past 2000s, there was an Earthworm Jim sticker on every GameStop or game store. Every E3, there was a big Earthworm Jim cutout.
There's a cartoon.
I mean, the cultural relevance, the iconic nature of an earthworm in a video game with weaponry, he squeaks in at the 16 slot, but I think he was sorely missed in the Ringer's bracket. So I love that incorporation, and one that I think you knocked it out of the park, similar to Earthworm Jim, but another level, Rayman.
Where was he?
Where he was sore, he was. I mean, Johnny Gat was making it Rayman, just nothing. I mean, multiple games, beloved, a huge hit when it came out, hours spent on it, and it definitely has an iconic image that has stood the test of time.
No limbs.
I love that.
Just floating orifices that hang around him. I'm just gonna read through the seating here, and then we're not gonna, you know, do it all here. We got a time crunch here, but this is just kind of it's only March 4th. Remember last year we ended our March Madness, I believe, in June. So we got plenty of time to soak it in. This is official too. This is the best bracket we've ever done, hands down. So here we go. These are the first region, the Icon region, and any listeners, please shout us out, tweet at us at ATF. Fantasy or all the feels fantasy at gmail.com. We got Mario the 1 seed versus Earthworm Jim, the 16 seed, briefly mentioned already by Jeff. Next one. This is a doozy. Seed, which I believe in the Ringer, he was like a 3 seed. Get out of here with that. Pac-Man, an 8 seed. Icon, of course, going up against someone along the same ilk. Number 9, a Space Invader.
Ooh.
Thoughts?
No, I like it. I think people overrate Pac-Man just because of like his cultural significance as a video game character. He's quite lame, so it's not great. So I think the balance, I mean, a 3 seed is strong, is something that, you know, I mean, when you get to your 3 seed, it'll be clear why that you know, you put Pac-Man where you did. I think it's appropriately ranked. Some may say too low just because of the cultural significance, but you're not going to find any argument for me.
And you're going to see these other icons here and tell me who you're putting up above, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
So next one, we got Lara Croft at a 5 seed going up against number 12, the Pong Block, brought up last week by you, Jeff. Cultural significance aside, I believe this ranking is fair. Not a lot of games. In fact, I might say there's one. Maybe there's a Pong 2 out somewhere. But, I mean, some would say the very first video game ever. I say probably. But, yeah, 12 seed Pong Block. Making it into an icon. It is an icon. We should definitely clarify that, Jeff.
No, definitely. And Lara Croft, I think she's had a game in every platform since, I don't know, NES or... or Sega, I don't know what her first game was. PS1. There's been movies made. There's Angelina Jolie. I mean, a 5 seed if there ever was one. Next one, Will, an interesting, one of these is interesting. I may push back on it. Number four, Mega Man. No question there. I mean, that's, if anything, a big middle finger to the ringer. I think they had him as like a 9 or an 11 seed. Like, get out of here. Yeah, come on. He's a 4. He is similar to Pac-Man, except he's a better character, and the game is 10 times better than Pac-Man. So, no arguments for me. The next one, though, I will say, Tails. I love a good Tails. I love a good Sonic and Tails spinoff. Definitely iconic. 13 seed. He's probably lower. He might have been a play-in for me, Tails. But I can see where you're going. I wouldn't. Let me see who you got below him. Oh, there's some that I would argue maybe need to be higher. Ooh. I'm looking at you, Duke Nukem. Again, a game across multiple platforms at a 14 seed and Tails at a 13. I know I'm nitpicking here, but that's kind of what I'm feeling.
It's tough, and we can debate this all we want. We you know, I am an open book, unlike the ringer who does not reply to anything. So we can talk about this off air through text messaging as well. That's for another day and another text. Number 6, Luigi, going up against number 11, the aforementioned Rayman. I think Luigi really got the short end of the stick in the ringer bracket, which he always does. And you know what? He's got his own games. He's a ghost hunter, baby. And he's quite a good one at that. So Luigi at the 6, Rayman at 11. Link is the 3 seed in this section. I think that's fair, considering you'll see who number 2 is. Again, this is icons. Number 14, Duke Nukem. Now, you just brought him up. Some would say he's been across a lot of platforms. Some would also say he's been, let's just say if he was made now, he wouldn't be as braggadocious, and maybe he wouldn't be made so much anymore based on the time frame when he was made. I think the next one is where controversy starts, but we're speeding through here. The 7 seed I have, Donkey Kong. I think a man of his past. I don't know if his time has really been coming lately. All you hear about him is Super Smash Brothers. Number 10. I think this has an upset in the making, by the way. Number 10, the Tetris block. Sorely missing in the Ringer video game bracket. And the last one we have, the 15 seed Princess Zelda, who, of course, was, I don't think, anywhere in the Ringer bracket, going up against the number 2 seed. I mean, come on, everybody. It's Sonic the Hedgehog, number 2. Any qualms with these last couple matchups before we sadly have to get out of here?
No, nothing to bring up particularly. Donkey Kong could be, I get where you're going, could be considered a villain.
Wow.
I think I like where you put him in this, because he is iconic, much like Mario and Luigi. Stands on his own. He's had spin-offs, you know, that aren't necessarily villainous, if you will. So I like what you did there, Will. Overall, a lot of musk, a lot of heart. We got a lot of time. We got other regions to get into. This was just a tease on the All the Fields Fantasy podcast, Will, but it has been great speaking with you. Heart outs abound, unfortunately, and I must bid you adieu.
We made it work. Peace out.
Peace.